Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Steve Flores and for the conversion of the most lost souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the Mass of the Last Supper, beginning the Triduum. The rest of the Masses for the Triduum the liturgical celebrations for the full of the Triduum tonight, after this Mass, we will go in procession out these doors, around the church, and over to the altar of repose, where we will take our Lord. When you entered into this church today, you probably noticed that there is no sanctuary candle. You may have even noticed, if you were really paying attention, that the doors of the tabernacle are open. It's because our Lord Jesus is not here. The church desires that this Mass be celebrated outside of the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, so that just as in the cenacle, where that upper room where our Lord was gathered with his apostles, that Christ would be made present in the Eucharist. And so the Eucharist that we will offer today will be the only Eucharist that will be here within our parish all the way through the Paschal season. This whole time that we offer Mass today, there is enough that will be consecrated to carry us through the only day in the liturgical year which we do not offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which is on Good Friday. Why? Because our Lord is dying upon the cross, and so he is not present to offer the sacrifice, for he himself is the sacrifice being offered. After this Mass, we will spend until midnight adoring our Lord there within the chapel. Stay as long as the love that you have for the person of Jesus Christ and our Lord affords you to be able to spend with him. What a sad thing it would be if you could not spend but a single hour in adoration with him. For as he spoke with his disciples in that Garden of Gethsemane, upbraiding them, saying, "Could you not but spend 1 hour with me in prayer?" Our Lord does not need our prayer, though he desires us to be with him as a consolation, but rather he turns to us as he turned to St. Peter. Stay up and pray that you may not undergo the test. On Good Friday, we will gather again here at the lumberyard and begin with our young men and women who will lead us in the living stations of the cross as we make progress all the way toward the church, concluding the final station here at the steps of the church, where at 1 o'clock we will enter in and begin this liturgy of the pre-sanctified. That is, liturgy where Holy Communion is given from that pre-sanctified or pre-consecrated host as we seek to adore the cross and pray for our needs and those of the entire church and world on this day when our salvation was won, on this Friday that now we're able to call good. We'll do the same in Fort Sumner at 3 o'clock and 3:30. Then the Easter, the Paschal Vigil, will be celebrated when it is fully dark outside at 8 p.m., beginning outside the church with a raging fire, which will be blessed as the Easter fire from which we will light the new Paschal candle and enter into this liturgy of the resurrection of the Lord. Our Lord speaks within the Gospel of John, and he simply says, "Having loved those who are his own in the world, he loved them unto the end." Having loved those who belong to him within the world, he loved them all the way until the end of his life. And so what our Lord does for you and me during this time is he spent that last and most intimate, most crucial hours of his life, our Lord Jesus spent with his apostles. He wanted to be with those who were closest and most dear to him. And in that time, he desired to give them the greatest proof that could ever be expressed of his lasting love for those who he loved within this world. Those were hours of sweet intimacy with his apostles. But they were also hours of intense anguish. Why were they hours of anguish? It was because Judas had already set the price and agreed upon it, the manner in which he was going to betray our Lord Jesus. It had already been decided. Peter was about to deny his master, and that weighed heavily upon the Lord as he spoke about it during that meal. And every single person around that table who was there with him, his intimate ones, would one by one take off and flee, abandon him, and leave him unto his own death. And our Lord gives us the institution of his Eucharist in the midst of this. So what do we see about the institution of the Eucharist, knowing that these are hours of intimacy, but also hours of anguish and abandonment, which our Lord was preparing to endure? We see that the institution of the Eucharist is our Lord Jesus' answer to the betrayal of man. The Lord knows that man will betray him, his intimate ones, his dear friends, and so the Lord's one act to remedy that is to give the Eucharist, to give himself as the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is the greatest gift of God's infinite love for human beings, for you and me. And so he gave us the sacrament of his love in return for the blackest of ingratitude that you and I could return to him. Isn't God's mercy so great so infinite, so beyond our comprehension. Our God, he pursues his rebellious creatures not with threats, not with saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to send you forever to hell. He doesn't do that. He pursues his rebellious creatures with immense charity, with the greatest gift of possible love. Our Lord had already done and suffered so much on behalf of sinful men. But now, at the moment when human malice is at its worst, he exhausts completely of himself all the resources of his love. Jesus, in the Last Supper, what he does is he offers himself unto man, not only as his Redeemer, who's one day going to die on the cross for the redemption of every single human person, but also as the food that will nourish him all throughout the life of every man, of every Catholic, of everyone who puts his trust in his love. What our Lord Jesus wants to let you and I, as his believers, to identify with is he wants us to be fed upon him, his very flesh and his very blood, throughout the whole course of our life. Not merely to have to look back on something that happened way back when, but to see what is he doing for us now. In a few hours, death might indeed claim the very life of the creator of the universe. But the Eucharist will perpetuate his real living presence with his people until the very end of time. Not just to end today in 2023, but all the way until the last breath of man expires from this earth and the Lord brings everything, the whole of the universe, unto its fulfillment. That's why St. Catherine of Siena, one of the great saints of the church, she was so amazed at this gift and she exclaimed out of that love, saying, "You, O Lord, you who are crazy in love with your creatures, true God and true man, you have left us wholly yourself as food so that we might not fall through weariness during our pilgrimage in this life, but will rather be fortified by you, you who are our heavenly nourishment." That's what today's Mass is. It's a commemoration and the renewal of that very gift of the Last Supper, where Jesus invites us to be with him in this intimate moment, just as his disciples were gathered around that table 2,000 years ago. And so when you and I enter into this church, rather, even more so, when we enter into that altar of repose in the chapel where we'll have these last final hours to be with the Lord, let us do so as if we were going into that cenacle as his disciples there to gather around him for that Last Supper, the first time. It's here that we will see, just as the apostles did that day in Jerusalem, the Master is truly alive and living within our midst, that Jesus himself, through the person of his minister, the priest, will once again renew this great miracle which changes bread and wine into his body and blood, the priest being the very tool of Jesus Christ. As I will say in just a few moments, take and eat. This is my body. And again, take and drink. This is the chalice of my blood. Realize something else about the Lord, is that Jesus prepared everything that day for his disciples. He planned it all. It was at his direction that everything was done to be ready for the Last Supper. Jesus chose, as it speaks about in Luke chapter 12, verse 22, that he chose a large room and invited his apostles, "You're the ones, you set it up, and then I'll go and make this Pasch with you." And so that tells you and I that our hearts have to be prepared, and we're the ones who have to do it. It means that our hearts have to be open wide, that we have to give ourselves a spacious place for God's love, his gift of his love, to really reside. Our hearts have to be a large cenacle where Jesus can come because he wants to celebrate his Last Supper within us this night. Reminds me of something that happened in New York at St. Agnes Church. A priest friend of mine from the Archdiocese of New York told me about it, that one afternoon after exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, he stood in the back of the pews and saw that there was a Muslim man. A Muslim man who was wondering what was going on as he happened upon this great and beautiful church there downtown in New York. My friend approached this particular Muslim man that day and engaged him in conversation. The man said, "Why is it that they're doing what they're doing? Why are they kneeling? Why are some of them prostrating themselves there in this place? What is this all about?" And so the priest turned to him and explained to him what you and I know from our youth, that we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in this most august sacrament of the altar. That monstrance that is there, that beautiful golden thing, just shows who Jesus is there so that all can see, because he's lifted up for our adoration, for us to express the greatness of our love for he who gives himself to us in this great sacrament. And the man said, "So that bread right there is your God." And after a moment, he turned to him and said, "You know what? If I believed that that was my God, I would do the same thing. I would lay myself out before him too, right there on the floor in prayer." It was for the first time on that first Holy Thursday on that evening that Jesus offered his body and blood in the same way that would be horribly torn apart on Calvary, and the blood would soak the dust beneath the cross that day. And this great mystery that we celebrate tonight unites those two events. The words of the consecration at the Last Supper cannot be separated from the sacrificial gift of the Lord at the crucifixion. The two are one single event, in effect. They both take place one and the same. In fact, at every Mass that we're at, we attend in person, mystically united to that one single event of the Last Supper and the crucifixion, which can't be separated. And so we're present as Jesus speaks those words at the Last Supper through the priest and pours himself out for love for you and I on Calvary. The question for us as we enter into that time of adoration is, do you realize what Jesus has done for you? What he has really done for you? All these great mysteries. Jesus might ask various questions of you and I today as we spend time adoring him in these last moments, desiring to make a place for his charity to reside within us. He might say, do you realize what I've given for you? The whole of myself. To those who love, they come to understand that this gift is known only by those who return love for love. Tonight, you and I have that great and grand opportunity to do so as we process into that altar of repose, and as long as we possibly can, maybe even some of us until midnight, we'll be there found waiting with the Lord, watching and praying. Not merely that the Lord might be consoled and we here 2,000 years hence can still console his heart on that day, so that we may be strengthened by adoring him, that when we undergo the test of the cross in these days and in our days, we might have the strength to overcome through the power of his cross. Let us ask our Lord for that grace to truly be with him, to open wide the doors of our hearts to receive his love as we make that space ready for him to celebrate the Pasch in our own hearts this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.